Good morning. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 10. We're now getting into a little more juicier things here in Leviticus. Leviticus 10. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans. After putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored.' So Aaron therefore kept silent. Moses called also to Mishael and to Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, 'Come forward, carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp.' They came forward and carried them still in their tunics to the outside of the camp, as Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, 'Do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, so that you may not die, and that he may not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord had brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, lest you die. For the Lord's anointing oil is upon you.' So they did according to the word of Moses. The Lord then spoke to Aaron, saying, 'Do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you may not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean, and so as to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes the Lord had spoken to them through Moses.' Then Moses spoke to Aaron and to his surviving sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, 'Take the grain offering that is left over from the Lord's offering by fire and eat it, unleavened, beside the altar, for it is most holy. And you shall eat it, moreover, in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due unto the Lord's offering by fire, for thus I have been commanded. The breasts of the wave offering, however, and the thigh of the offering you may eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they have been given as your due and your sons' due out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the sons of Israel. The thigh offered by lifting up and the breast offered by waving, they shall bring along with the offerings by fire of the portions of fat to present as a wave offering before the Lord. So it shall be a thing perpetually due you and your sons with you, just as the Lord has commanded.' But Moses searched carefully for the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it had been burnt up. So he was angry with Aaron's surviving sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, saying, 'Why did you not eat the sin offering at the holy place? For it is most holy, and he gave it to you to bear away the guilt of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. Behold, since his blood has not been brought inside into the sanctuary, you should certainly have eaten it in the sanctuary, just as I commanded.' But Aaron spoke to Moses, 'Behold, this very day they presented their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. When a thing like this happened to me, if I had eaten a sin offering today, would it have been good in the sight of the Lord?' And then when Moses heard that, it seemed good in his sight." Amen. So we have this incident. Remember, the altar of the Lord comes. He brings fire which consumed the altar, consume the fat portions and whatnot in the chapter before. And remember, yesterday I said this was a sign of God's approval over the Israelites, that God says, "I have accepted this sacrifice." And so everyone bows down on their face before the Lord. Well, Aaron has four sons. And so these two sons, Nadab and Abihu, what ends up happening is they, for whatever reason, they go back into the tabernacle, into the sanctuary. They take fire. It was their own fire. And they brought it before the Lord, and they offered it as a strange fire before God. It so displeased the Lord that the Bible says the fire from the altar struck them down, or fire from heaven, and struck them down, and they died instantly on the spot. And then God gives Moses instructions for Aaron and how he should operate. I mean, Aaron, is as a father, is grieving during this time. Here's a couple aspects that we have to think about. The book of Leviticus, in all the offerings and everything that's laid out for them, is to bring this depiction that our God is a holy God. Our God is not able to be encroached upon. Even we as human beings, we are not holy enough by any stretch of the imagination to reconcile ourselves with God. That's point number one, okay? God is holy and we are not. Don't ever lose sight of that. God is imminently holy, we are not. We cannot come into the presence of God. Psalm 24, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord and who can stand in that holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. And so we have the inability, and thus something needs to take our place. Some sacrifice need to be done on our in our stead for us to come into God's presence. These two guys forgot about that dangerously. And when they went into the altar, first of all, the fire doesn't come from themselves. The fire comes from the altar. In other words, it's not something that we have. Whatever we have is given to us by God. The moment you start thinking that you have something to offer is the moment you can start going down that spiral to self-deception. Right? The only thing that we do, everything we have is what's given to us by God. So the fire comes from the Lord, and these guys come. Now, if you read the text, verse 8, so then the Lord speaks to Aaron and says, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor sons, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you may not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generation. So, seemingly, most likely, Nadab and Abihu, these guys were drunk. And so they drank a bit too much, went into the altar. They did a few things. One, they were drunk, okay? So I don't need to talk about that too much. Just be very, very careful. I know that all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And in terms of our viewpoint of alcohol and those type of things, I mean, for me personally, I don't really get bent out of shape about it, but I think there is a distinction in the way kings should act as opposed to slaves or servants. I think there's a way that sons and daughters should act as opposed to slaves and servants. And, there's a great passage in the book of Proverbs 31 where the mother is giving advice to the son, oh son of my vows, oh son of my wombs. And if Proverbs 31, it says, wine and drink, it's not for kings. And I love that kind of idea. So I don't need to get into that right now. But they get drunk, but they also operate in presumption. They were never asked to do this by the Lord. In other words, they were not permitted to do this, and yet they did it anyway. So they were drunk. They moved in presumption, and really honestly, they lacked a focus on the holiness of God. They didn't recognize that God is a God of order. There is a specific order by which the sacrifices, the laws, all these things are laid out. God takes so much time in articulating these very things. And yet, unfortunately, they totally lost sight of that, and they just decided to do what they wanted to do. This is very dangerous, church, okay? When you decide that you're just going to do what you want to do, in whatever area that we can talk about this in terms of Christendom, you're in for some trouble, right? If you don't follow a particular order or a particular protocol, if you don't come under submission to God's ways and even relate to church, I mean, I draw a lot of principles church-wise, in this regard. There is a proper protocol by which you operate in any organization, any church, and any body. You go and do what you want to do, you open yourself up to the wrath of God. There is really no ifs, ands, and buts about this. Now, that's not necessarily what I want to talk about today. Really the key in understanding this passage, because you'll notice it happens way from the beginning. So he ordains the priesthood, and then the first instance, so after the probation period, remember the 7 days, we get to the 8th day, and immediately after that, after the public assembly, the fire of God comes down, what happens? two priests, a part of this priesthood, so two of the four, 50% of them, fall miserably. What is God saying to us? What is really the message through all this? This is the message, okay? Even from the inception, the priesthood, man's way of appeasing God is always flawed, will always be flawed. The priesthood, even the priesthood that the Lord sets up, the priesthood that comes, even as designed as well as it could be, it is still insufficient to take away the wrath of God. That's really the bottom line. I mean, think about it. This is the first instance of the priest stepping into that role, right, as mediator between God and man, and even in that is insufficient. It doesn't do its job. It is flawed from the beginning. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it's important to understand that. And so that's why we talk about when we get to that's Old Covenant, we get to New Covenant, and we talk about the sufficiency, the all-sufficiency of Christ. Him who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we may attain the righteousness of God through him. And so even though the system is flawed because people are flawed, that's Old Covenant, New Covenant comes in, right? And Jesus the Christ comes and bears the sins of the world. Well, it's not any coincidence. See, these guys were not even permitted to enter into that holy place. Number one, I mean, they broke all kinds of protocol. Number one, you're only supposed to go in one man, period. Both of them go in. You're supposed to take the fire from the altar. They bring their own fire. You're supposed to come into this place holy and pure, right? You know, and these guys come in drunk. I mean, you talk about messing up every step of the way, you know, in this whole process. And really, it's this narrative to show the flaw of this really ceremonial system of atonement. It's not sufficient enough. Obviously, we it's a precursor to Christ, who I said is the all-sufficient one and the only one that can bear that burden and, you know, bring us into that place of righteousness with God. They're not permitted to go to the Holy of Holies, and so what happens? Jesus Christ is crucified. He dies on the cross. God's fire and thunder, God's response of his approval of that sacrifice is laid out through creation. And then what's the phenomenon that really shakes at the core of this whole thing? Is the temple veil is torn from top to bottom. In other words, now we have direct access to God, not by the blood of animals, but by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, in chapter 10 is this great picture of the insufficiency of the Old Covenant, you know, the weaknesses, and really the power and the sufficiency of New Covenant in Christ Jesus. The failure of the spilling of blood of animals, you know, contrasted to the success of the unblemished Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist would proclaim. And it's really this beautiful picture of how this works. So that's the big picture idea here in Leviticus 10. But really more to the point, you know, for us in our own day and time, is that we should be very careful when we are dealing with the things of the holiness of God. We should be very careful that we're operating on a proper protocol. You know, this is as a pastor, you know, to the congregation, make sure the congregation is acting properly in this regard. You know, that we don't want to offer up strange fire in any way to the Lord, because, you know, the result of that is going to be punishment. And so I think we have to be very, very clear and very, very careful about the order of things and how God wants to manifest his order you know, in the kingdom of God and in His church. Okay, so let's close our eyes. The sin of presumption, the sin of lacking protocol, the sin of not treating God as holy, you know, manifest in them coming before the Lord and offering their own fire, but also, you know, in coming into the house of God drunk to do the purposes of the Lord. And so, I mean, these guys made some serious, serious errors, and unfortunately, they paid the price for it. So much so that Moses commanded Aaron and his sons not to mourn their death. And God began to really speak to Aaron, you know, that, you know, Aaron, there is a proper way to do this. And they start making a distinction between the holy and the profane, you know, the sacred and the secular, especially when it came to the ministry and the duties of the Lord. I think what Aaron is really receiving from that is he blew it with his sons. He really blew it with his sons. He didn't teach his sons well enough. And they profane God's name and his tabernacle. And he pays the price for that. And so let's check our hearts. Let's check our spirit. That we don't operate in that same spirit ourselves. Of Nadab and Abihu. That we make sure that we are under submission. We make sure that we come under, you know, God's workings in our life and the workings and leadership of the church. Make sure that we're not offering up strange fire before God and operating out of presumption. You know, all kinds of stuff in our lives. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And, you know, again, the big picture behind all this is the old covenant is insufficient. Ultimately, let's thank God for His blood spilled for us, the sufficiency of His sacrifice for the removing of our sins and leading us into that holy place in God.
deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation.
Let's pray this morning. Let's thank the Lord for His perfect love for us. Let's thank the Lord for the supremacy and sufficiency of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the old covenant wasn't able to do, the new covenant comes through for us. And it gives us pause to come before the Lord and just really thank Him. Thank Jesus for being the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who takes away our sins and leads us into the Holy of Holies. Let's pray. I can invite us to pray for our community that are battling cancer and whatnot. You may have noticed my auntie's name is taken off. She passed away this morning, probably about an hour and a half ago. And so if you could pray for my family, this is my cousins in Chicago. Just ask the Lord to just really strengthen them right now. She died peacefully. She was at peace, and she went to be with the Lord. I talked to her last week, and she seemed to have all her accounts in order, really thankful to God and just ready to go and be with Him. And so I respected that decision in her. And so if we can just particularly lift them up. I've got three cousins in Chicago, my uncle, obviously, who also survives here. And so just pray for them, and let's pray for our other family members that they would come to a place of healing in their bodies first and foremost, but even more than that, even emotionally and spiritually. Yeah? Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that is ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God would reveal Himself to them in their healing, through their relationships, in some way that Christ would be preached and they would receive Him in their hearts. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's lift up our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong this morning. Let's ask God to continue to breathe over the city. Let's pray over all the Occupy movement and the student demonstrations. Pray for meaningful talks. Pray for the government, pray against the wealth gap and revival. Pray for the churches here and our organizations, SSI, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Face to Face, Feed the Hungry, CSW and the Korean Church. Let's ask God to just bless our partners as they minister in Hong Kong effectively. Let's pray for our missions committee as they lead our missions endeavors as a church. Let's pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and real ability to work well together as a team. And let's lift up. Let's pray for our outreach, pray for our community center, and Agape, homeless ministry, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Mother's Choice. And let's ask God to bless our volunteers and our leaders and that are leading out in these ministries. And it's a real significant ministry and care would happen. Let's cover our activities as a church tonight. Let's pray for our IP meeting and a college group and GIC. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would really breathe life into all of our gatherings tonight. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's lift up McCain and Discovery Bay House Church. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon our leaders, and as they practice and learn to hear God's voice, that the Lord would just move upon them powerfully. Together. Father, we thank you, God. We heed the warning, God, of Nadab and Abihu, Lord. And Lord, help us not to move in presumption, God. Help us to not profane, God, the things that are holy, Father. Help us to follow the proper protocol, God. And ultimately, Lord, thank you, God, for your sacrifice for us, Lord. God, we see the insufficiency, God, of the priesthood order. And so we recognize, God, your goodness in providing Jesus for us, God. So we love you, Lord. Help us to give your son Jesus glory in all that we do and say today. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow this weekend.